Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this show, feel free to call in, don't call in, but write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my guest for tonight, I would just like to talk to you about a service that I'm promoting because it just is the most wonderful service to help women in our situation who need legal advice. And if you go to my website at gayhusbands.com, you'll see the block there for Just Answer. This is an unbelievable service that I use constantly. For only $36 a month, you can ask unlimited questions to any kind of expert or professional. They have legal advice from their licensed lawyers from all over the country who can give you really good leads on your upcoming divorce cases or what your rights are, and also medical advice if you have any medical problems in your family. Computer advice, there's so many different experts as part of this service, and you get answers within minutes. And sometimes when you're doing legal types of problems, when you have divorce cases or custody cases, you know for yourselves that lawyers cost a lot of money. You know, you have lawyers, they range between $400 and $500 an hour, and every time you pick up the phone to ask them a question, it's a 15-minute time span, whether you talk a minute or 15. So it's going to cost you a lot of money. This way, you can do all your preliminary legwork with this service, Just Answer, and you can ask these lawyers as many questions as you want. There is no limit on the number of questions you can ask. And that way, when you do have to see your lawyer, you already go in with some knowledge. so it's a worthwhile investment, $36 a month. There's no contract with it, you know, but you'll feel much more safer and more secure. And I've used them myself for any kind of physical ailments in my family. I've gotten wonderful advice from doctors. So it's a lifesaver for me. And, of course, I'm using it towards my new campaign on Straight Wives Matter. It's been extremely helpful to me. So check it out. You get a free question on my website of gayhusbands.com. See if you like it and ask any kind of question. See how fast you get an answer. And if you like the answer, then think about subscribing. It will be the number one best investment you can make towards your future. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my very special and wonderful friend tonight, Ms. Deborah Sutton. Welcome back, Deborah.
Hi, Bonnie.
How are you doing on this hot, steamy day here in Philadelphia? You're in Texas. How's it there?
It's hot here, and I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Usually when it's hot here, it's hotter there. That's my usual rule of thumb. Hot here means much hotter in Texas, right?
Yes.
Like here, we get a cool breeze once in a while. You just get a hot breeze.
Yes, hot.
That's how Texas is, and especially in the summer. I don't know how people survive it. I think you have thinner blood after you live there for a while. So, Deborah, I'm so excited about your new book. Last month you came on and talked about it because you just launched it. And this is such an incredible, you know, reading for people who are going through our situation. And that's why I wanted to talk more about it tonight because, you know, this is a great book. I mean, your first book was really good. The Signs of a Gay Husband, the part one, because
yes.
You did get lots of information and you told some stories from women who are part of the network, and that was really wonderful. But this book really hits on so many points that women need to know about, and, you know, I have the book in front of me because I just love this book, so I keep it by my side at all times. I'm talking about time. One of your chapters is called Time is a Precious Gift. Can you talk a little bit about that, Deborah?
Well, time is, I don't have the book in front of me, Bonnie, but, you know, I felt like the time that I spent in that marriage was a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I really value my time and who I spend it with.
I think what the point you were making in the chapter when I was reading it, that, like you just said, time is the most precious gift we can give a person. And you say, the years I spent with a closeted gay man were stolen years. Not only stolen, but wasted. I could never get those years back. How these men can do this to another human being is beyond me. Also, they hide behind their secret. These men are not in denial. They know what they're doing as they lead their secret life. They know they are meeting men for sex while their wife sits innocently at home taking care of the family. Keeping their secret at all costs, it doesn't matter to them who they hurt as long as their secret is kept. It doesn't matter to them what they expose their wives to, such as HIV and all kinds of diseases. After reading a post by another straight wife, I can no longer call it denial. These gay men know they are gay. They are not in denial. They are gay in secret. And one of the things I always say, Deborah, to back this up, I always say every day you stay in one of these marriages is a day you're never going to get back. Because I watch women who sit and they linger on them after they find out the truth or they know what the reason is why the marriage failed. And yet they're too weakened to leave. Either they're hoping for some great miracle where they're hoping that they don't have to face whatever it is. And I know it's scary, and you know it's scary.
Yes.
But some women just keep lingering. Do you find that with the women that you talk with?
Yes, some of them linger in the marriage. And it is time you can never get back. Never. And that's one of my regrets, is the time I wasted there.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one of the things that's been hard for me to get past.
It is hard. And, in fact, I was speaking to a new woman the other day who spent 28 years of her life, nearly 30 years in a marriage. That was, you know, not a good marriage, but she was never quite sure why it wasn't good till later on. And You know, I just think about the years that go by. It's a lifetime. And my philosophy is you have one life to live, excuse the pun from the soap opera, but you have to make it the quality of life that you want. So many of us are so beaten down in these marriages that we find it really difficult to stand up and to start walking away. Mm. And I understand fear. I understand I've worked with women for, I don't know, I guess I hate to even say how many years now, but for a long, long time, for decades, I'll say it that way. And some of them are so afraid, you know, what could be the worst thing that could happen to you? And yet they've been beaten down for so many years that they're just afraid they can't do anything. You find that in the women that you work with, too?
Yes, and the way I felt myself, too, I was pretty beaten down. And I didn't want to start over at my age.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard starting over at any age, just picking up and starting over. For me, it was starting from scratch, starting with nothing. So it was scary. But I didn't realize, you know, the peace that I would have once I got out of that marriage.
You know, it is a scary thing, and I always say that there could be two sides to every story when there's divorce, because I've worked with plenty of people who were in straight marriages, not straight gay marriages. And people outgrow each other. It doesn't have to be a fault thing. It could be two people got married early, their lives went in different directions. So for that reason, I can understand why they have a no-fault clause in many states. But in this specific instance, there's not two sides to this story. There's only one side. And the side is that these marriages had breaking up had nothing to do with us. It had to do with the deception of being married to a gay man. And that's not to say that all these guys are deceitful and they wanted to hurt us. I'd never say that, and I stand by that. You know, they're hoping they don't have to be gay. They're hoping the gay will go away. You know, they're hoping that they can just pass through society, that they've practiced being straight for long enough and pulled it off. And they really truly believe if they love a woman enough, you know, they can change. But they can't and they don't. So at that point, you really owe it to the person you love to be honest and tell the truth. I mean, I have men who come to me and they say to me, well, I tried to do the right thing, but now there's a lot of pushback. You know, my wife is very angry. Well, yeah, your wife is going to be very angry. I never lead people to believe it's not going to be the worst moment of your adult life doing this. But, of course, she's going to be angry. Why wouldn't she be angry?
She's going to be hurt. And she's going to be hurt and angry. And, you know, that pain and anger is not going to go away overnight. But, you know, if you're honest.
And that's another problem. People have this expectation. And how often do we hear, why can't you just get over it?
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, it's because we can't. Because the years of deception for so many women has built up in them all this anger and resentment because they were blaming themselves, as their husbands were, for the problems in the marriage. And these women put in so much additional time. I always say that straight wives are the best wives because we're always trying so hard to, you know, to please a man who can never be pleased because we're women. But in the meantime, how many times do you go to bed at night crying because you feel you failed as a wife or that your husband doesn't want to touch you or that he doesn't want intimacy with you, or there must be something wrong with you because he doesn't find you attractive? I mean, that really takes its toll on every woman. I mean, you can't just blank that out.
It does.
You can't just pretend it's not there, right?
Right. And, you know, I when I think back, you know, I think back to what he put me through, you know, he knew why he was the way he was. I didn't, you know.
Exactly.
He had years to come to terms with who he was, his sexuality, you know. I didn't have all those years to come to terms with that. So it takes time to come to terms with. For the longest time, In my mind, I knew he was gay. I couldn't see him as gay, though, because he spent 22 years pretending to be straight around me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to... I mean, I don't have a hard time with that now, but I did, you know, in the beginning of this.
I don't think any of us have a hard time with gay. We just have a problem with gay husbands.
Yes.
And I like to be really clear that almost all of the women I've ever spoken to in my whole life are very pro-gay, and I really do believe that's who men gravitate towards because they know that these are accepting women, that if anything should slip out, we'll be able to overlook it or understand it, or they'll be able to twist it and turn it around so the woman won't believe it. But I would say I haven't met the woman yet. Maybe two out of a million there. Well, not a million, but, you know, out of 100,000, who would tell me that they're not pro-gay. We're
mm-hmm.
a prototype. Pro-gay women are a prototype of the kind of woman that a gay man's going to be looking for, because if his secret gets out, then that's going to be it. But the most important thing is that when you think about your marriage and how hurt you were, you get really wounded in these marriages. And I don't think that people understand the damage that we go through. This is not like other marriages. And unfortunately, we're treated with contempt by much of the community at large because they don't understand the situation. You know, everybody's cheering on the gay man, and nobody's even thinking about his straight wife. And if they do, they're thinking she must be stupid. Everybody knew he was gay, or she just was desperate and she married a gay man. I mean, there's
yes.
nobody out there telling the truth in a meaningful way, which is why I'm really proud to be spearheading our Straight Lives Matter campaign that will be growing this year as we try to politically push some of these issues into the state courts to change some of the rules here against no-fault divorce, because the truth of the matter is these are fault divorces. I'm not saying
they
men purposely did it. But they're at fault. I mean, the marriage isn't breaking up because we love them. The marriage is breaking up because they're gay. So why should we now have to go through all these muddy waters of trying to get our life back together and have it cost us thousands of dollars? This does not make any sense to me. Do you feel that way, too?
I feel, yes, Bonnie, absolutely. I feel the same way, and I'm behind this fault. His fault divorce 100%, because it is. I mean, like in my marriage, he was hiding this from me all the 22 years we were married. I didn't find out until the end. So, I mean, there were problems in the marriage. I just didn't know what they were.
Uh-huh.
Had I, if he at any point, if he ever came to me and was honest, it would have made a difference. I'm not saying it wouldn't have hurt, but it would have made a difference.
Deborah, do you feel that he knew that he was hurting you when he did it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew he was hurting me, and I think there were times he wanted to hurt me.
I feel like they're punishing. A lot of men feel like they're going to punish their wives for being unhappy. Like they feel they did the right thing and they married you and they're suffering for it. So in their minds, even though they wanted to marry you, they still feel like you're their prison keeper.
Yes.
And that the reason why they're feeling so miserable is because you're keeping them cooped up in a prison that they put themselves into.
Right.
It had nothing to do with you. They have this self-imposed prison that they created by marrying you. So now if they're not happy, they're going to not let you be happy either.
That's
would
true.
You say that's pretty accurate?
I would say that's very true.
And that's the sad part, is that we suffer enough, you know, under the best of circumstances, and when some of these guys go out to make it even worse, it just amazes me. You know, so it's very hurtful to so many women, and that's why every divorce should come with, this is like what I'm saying, number one, all legal fees paid by the husband. I mean, look, you want the divorce, pay for it. She didn't do anything where she should have to pay for it. Leave the wife with the house so she doesn't have to unsettle her and upset her whole life until the kids are grown. And then at that point, you know, you can make some kind of agreement that she'll sell the house and you'll split the earnings with it. But I see so many women who are getting displaced. They don't have jobs because now they're single parents and they can't, you know, they didn't start out that way. And all of a sudden they have to juggle all ends. So, and then they have to sell their house because it's part of a divorce agreement. They have to find a new place to live. I mean, I think this is ridiculous. I mean, I think that they need to really step up to the plate and take responsibility. I mean, I have met a couple wonderful, responsible gay husbands who definitely did the right thing. I mean, they did just what I'm saying. They took responsibility. They said to the wife, you keep the house. Wait till those children are grown. Then we can renegotiate things. You know, I'll pay for the fees for the divorce. I don't want you to have to have it come out of your pocket. We'll come up with some kind of good settlement so that we both come out, you know, okay. And that would be the right thing to do. But
it's
that's not
what
happens.
It's not the norm, though. That's not what I see.
I mean, it happens on rare occasions, right?
Yes, rare occasions.
I've met a couple of men who have done that, but the majority don't. The majority come to me and say, why do I have to tell my wife I'm gay? You know, it's only going to hurt me in court. You know, and I explain to them, in most courts, it won't hurt you at all. You have nothing to worry about. Because the courts don't really look at this as being an issue. I do, but they don't. But, I mean, I don't get it. You owe it to your wife, but there's some groups that go around. These are hateful men groups. These are men groups that, you know, collaborate together and do hateful things, especially towards me, because I keep talking out about it, and I'm not going to be stopped by them. But the point is that they tell these husbands, make sure you don't send your wife to Bonnie K. Make sure she doesn't see any information from her. You know, she'll just destroy everything you have. I mean, that's such a crock. You know, I've helped so many gay men come to terms with themselves, come out to their wives, and have happy endings instead of resentful, angry, upsetting endings like these men are advocating.
Yes.
So telling the
truth
can't
hurt you. These men are the ones that are, you know, like stalking you, Bonnie. They're very vulgar men.
They certainly are. It's really scary to think there are people out there that are so sick, you know, harassing me, my associates, my family. You know, it's really very sad to think that these people have nothing better to do with their lives, even though I know who they are and I know how to harass back. And it just takes, you know, one decision on mine to make that happen. But for now, they don't bother me because I understand what they're about, but it's not going to change how I feel what I'm about. And
well,
I think
that's
as we
what
grow,
they would like to put a stop to you, you know, speaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's absolutely what it's about, but that's okay. You can't be controversial and not expect to have people, all people love you. The main thing is that we're helping women constantly. And I get all the positive feedback and gay husbands who come to me thanking me. So I'm not worried about a few troublemakers because they're always going to be out there, and I've learned to accept that and not let it roll off my shoulder. But I am going to move forward, and, you know, my goal is for next year. You know, every year I have my healing weekends, and my next healing weekend will be on the East Coast, and I want to be part of the Gay Pride Parade. I'm going to try to have a booth out there, absolutely, with our contingent of Straight Wives Matter. And, you know, I'm really excited about the concept that people would come in from all over the country and we would have a stand and people would listen to us and we'd get the word out how important it is to have straight wives have the credibility and respectability that they deserve. And that's why I'm working on this campaign now. I have some wonderful people helping me with it on the legal end, on writing your story end. I mean, there's so many different aspects to this that we're going to go one state at a time and try to change the laws. So that's the only way that we're going to get, you know, the respect that we need, just like the gay community did. You know, I really admire what they did. You know, I'm a big advocate for gay rights. And to see how they pushed and pushed and pushed, and they went to representatives, and they got all kinds of legislation in their favor. And this is wonderful. I mean, every gay person should be treated with dignity and respect. No gay person should have to hide behind who he is because fear of what kind of retribution there's going to be. And there are a lot of very brave gay people who stand up and they want to be counted. And they're tired of living their life in a closet, and they're not going to do it anymore. And so those are the men that I'm going to be approaching, men who can give us support by understanding our plight. And hopefully by a year from now, we'll have our next retreat during the Great Pride Parade, and we'll make a difference. You know, we're going to spend a whole year working towards that goal. But we will be seen and we will be heard. And hopefully people start taking up our cause and start looking at us with the same empathy and compassion that they do the other members of the gay community.
Well,
so that would be good, right?
Yes, I support this. And if there's anything I can do, let me know.
No, don't worry, Deb. I'll be sending for you.
Okay.
You'll be leading the parade with me. Trust me. We'll be in the front of that line, which I think is a great idea. But getting back to your book, let's talk about a few other issues that you have in here that I thought were so interesting that will really be helpful to women. So the time issue was a very important one to me, that women need to realize that every time you're doing this, you know, it's just a matter of you're losing a day of your life that you can never get back. It's never going to change. And I also tell women, you know, you can't give up on love and finding your soulmate. But, you know, there are a lot of women who really were looking for that in a marriage, and they just never found it. But the longer that you stay in it, the less time you're going to have to meet your soulmate.
Yes.
You know, isn't that true?
That's true.
Because you're going to be stuck. One of the things that I love,
Bonnie, I've still not been able to date at this point. I know I have trust issues, and it's from my marriage.
Well, that comes down to another part of your book, Deb. And when it's time to start loving yourself again, and you write about forgiving yourself. And I think when you forgive yourself, you know, you start trusting yourself more too. And you write, show yourself unconditional love, accepting everything about which the good and the bad. If there's something you need to change, work on changing it without beating up yourself. Beating up on yourself is self-defeating and does not help bring about positive change. Forgive yourself for any past mistakes. Leave the past in the past where it belongs. If you're constantly rehashing the past, you cannot move forward. And I really believe that when it comes to forgiveness, you know, I'm very big on being honest. Now, not everybody agrees with me, of course, and people are certainly open to their own interpretation. Some people believe that forgiveness heals you. It's not forgiveness for the other person, but just so that you can move on in your life. And I think that's a wonderful concept. It's not one that I can believe in, but I admire people who can. You know, I admire people who have strong faith. You know, I may not be one, but I always admire people who are. I believe in acceptance, which is like you were writing about.
Yes,
you know,
I get confused about, and I'm a Christian, but I get confused. Well, in the Bible it says, you know, you repent of your sins. You have to repent.
Uh-huh.
You have to ask for forgiveness and repent. Well, like some of these men, they never even say they're sorry. They've not repented. They're not sorry. They feel like they gave up their life for you. So, I don't know. I've been moving forward and progressing, and feel like I've come a long way. I don't feel like I have to necessarily forgive somebody that doesn't even acknowledge me or want my forgiveness.
Right, that's where I think forgiving yourself comes in. If you have to feel a sense of forgiveness, forgiving yourself for making a mistake, for lingering in a mistake, for staying too long, for staying there while the children were growing up, you know, we all have our coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, you
yes.
can forgive yourself because you did the best you could under the circumstances you were in. However, forgiving someone who's damaged your life, if you forgive that person, now once again, this is my view. I don't want you to feel that I'm pushing it on anybody. But I would just feel like more of a victim if I forgive someone who's victimized me. repeatedly over and over again. It's like if there was some kind of somebody who was beating you up, you know, who'd had domestic violence, and every time they hit you, you'd forgive them, and then they just keep hitting you. I mean, what is the point in forgiving them?
Right. I mean, I did that over and over in my marriage, and, you know, forgiving him over and over for abuse. I mean, he's not going to be in my life or part of my life or, you know, my journey or moving forward. He's not. So
I really believe that if you're a religious person, you believe in God's forgiveness. And I think that's the important part. Let God forgive the person.
Yes.
You know, it's not our job to forgive. That's God's job. You know, we're only human. We can have human feelings and human emotions. But, you know, God is the person to forgive these people, right?
Right. That's what I say. It's between him and God.
Right. I think that we're not in a position to forgive. I mean, that's not part of who we are or have to do. So, yeah, I think that when you say forgive yourself, it really sounds what I say all the time. Learn to forgive yourself. And that way, you learn to accept what's happened to you.
Yeah.
And when you can accept that it happened to you, it doesn't mean you have to like it. You just have to accept that, look, this is the situation I was in. I did the best that I could do. Maybe I could have done something better, not as far as being a better wife, but maybe as far as seeing things sooner or leaving the marriage sooner. You know, maybe there's things I could have done, but I didn't do it. So I'm going to forgive myself for that. I'm doing it now. But you don't have to forgive the guy who's been doing it to you if you don't want to. I mean, that's my feeling once again. And I think a lot of people feel better knowing that.
Yeah.
You know, if you do want to forgive, that's fine too. If you find comfort in forgiving, that's certainly no problem to me. But
well,
if you don't find comfort,
there's just too much pressure to forgive the, you know, the person that abused you. Like you're wrong and you're doing wrong if you don't automatically just forgive this person. And that's
exactly.
That does nothing for healing for me.
Well, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't feel any better. I would feel if I'm forgiving someone who's done wrong to me without them. See, I believe in forgiveness if somebody asks for forgiveness or understands what they've done wrong and they say they come to you and they say, I'm so sorry, I understand how I hurt you now. Can you forgive me? Then yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's definitely understandable if you want to forgive at that point. But
well,
for someone who still has contempt for you and someone who still treats you like crap, why do you have to forgive them?
Well, this is my sister and I had this very discussion the other day, and, you know, and I told her how I felt about it. And then she said, well, if he came to you and asked you, you know, said he was sorry and asked for forgiveness, would you forgive him? And I said, well, yes. In that case, yes. But he... You know, he's not done that. And the Bible says we have to ask for forgiveness and we turn from that behavior. We don't repeat that behavior over and over.
Right. So if there's no way that they're going to apologize to you or admit that, you know, they did something that was wrong, they'll keep blaming it on you. Right?
Right.
And you don't have any reason that you have to forgive, as far as I'm concerned. Some people are just not forgivable. You know, some people just have their own agenda, and they're not looking to be, you know, do the right thing. But I always say to my men who come to me for help, I always say, you know, the best way for a woman to forgive you is to do the right thing, be emotionally and financially responsible to your family. You know, put them as a priority like you have until now or should have till now and do the right thing. And if you do, people are going to really, you know, try to work with you. I mean, we leave these marriages, but we still love these men. We don't love what's happened. We don't love the fact that they're gay. We don't love the fact that they're now going to have a boyfriend or a man friend, but we still love them. And where there's still some love, I mean, you can grow on that and still be a family unit if your husband's doing the right thing. You know, you can't hold him responsible for being gay. I always say that. Gay is not a choice. Being honest about being gay is a choice. And then doing the right thing about being gay is your next choice. Meaning you need to, you know, do the right thing and stand by your family, make sure they're taken care of financially, not look at what I can get from my wife, look at what I can get, how I can start my new life. Let me get the house. Let me get this. I mean, no, that's wrong. You need to be financially responsible to them. You took on this responsibility. Do the right thing. That's what I tell them. And those who do, amazingly, their wives are able to co-parent with them. They're still very hurt, but they learn to accept it sooner because they realize they're now ex-husbands. They're not trying to hurt them. They're trying to help them, and they feel bad at what happened. So for those men who want to do the right thing, you're going to have a much better outcome, you know, instead of blaming your ex-wife for everything that goes wrong, right?
Yes, I agree. You know, if he's willing to do the right thing by his family, there's hope for healing for both. And like you said, to go on and co-parent their children and still be a family.
You know, one of the things you write about, Deborah, in this book, was once again, Signs of the Gay Husband on the Other Side of Fear. If you go to Amazon.com, and you look up Deborah Sutton, you'll see both of her books, but this is the newer one. You write about finding closure, and it says, with homosexuality being more acceptable these days and the change in gay marriage laws, I was hoping to see a decline in women needing support. Sadly, this has not happened. There are more women needing support daily. Even though gay marriage is legal, there are still those gay men who will remain in the closet. It's one thing to keep your privacy and choose to remain single, but to marry a woman in order to put up the appearance of straight is what a whole different story. I do take into consideration that some men marry young and are confused about their sexuality. They marry hoping to find same-sex attractions will go away, and they love their wives the best they can. At some point, they know the same-sex attraction is not going away. Most of these men are acting on their desires for men while being married to women. Still, these men will not admit that they are gay. Their wives usually find out by finding gay porn stored in the computer's history or text from or to a man. Even when these men are confronted with the evidence, they still deny they are gay. They are out and having sex with men, but will not come home and have sex with their wives to prove to themselves. And have sex with their wives to prove to themselves they cannot be gay. These are men that Bonnie calls straight gay husbands. They feel out of place in either world, but find it easier to pass them as straight. They have a straight identity, but a sexual desire for men. These are men who live a secret gay life, and if you get a divorce, they will go on to marry another woman. And you're so on target with that, Deb, because this is what happens. I mean, there are those gay men who say they are definitely not gay, and just because they have sexual experiences with men is not who they are because it's not their identity. And
right.
I say, you say either, I say either, you say neither, I say neither. You know, you can say whatever you want, potato, potato, tomato, tomato, it's all still gay to me.
It's gay to
that
me.
Song.
It's gay
yeah,
to
I
me.
Mean, look, if you are out there having gay sex, then you can be sure that you are a gay man. Straight men do not have gay sex. And even though gay men tell me, yeah, you should see how many men I pick up in bars who are straight and they have sex with me, these are not straight men.
No.
These are men who have either latent gay feelings or who acted on it in the past. When you want a sexual, unless they're sexual addicts, if they're sex addicts, then everything goes. But most of these men are not sex addicts. They're straight gay men living the straight life but having gay sex with men. And that's what's so sad. And we do see men who have multiple marriages who, okay, you want to leave him? No problem. He's going to go out and marry somebody else who's straight.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have a new girlfriend by the next week to prove that he's not gay. Because in his mind, he's not. He just feels that having sex is not enough to make you a gay man. So what do you think of that, Deborah?
Well, I think he's gay. and he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to accept himself as being gay. He doesn't like what he is.
And I understand that. I really do. You know, self-hatred is a very, very destructive tool. And I see it with people with different religions, races, sexuality issues. They just don't want to be what they are. But unfortunately, you don't have a lot of choices in a lot of these things. I mean, you know, if you're born white or you're born black, I mean, you didn't have a choice in it. That's how you were born. If you were born tall or you were born short, you didn't have a choice in that either. I mean, you were destined to be tall or destined to be short. And if you're...
I mean,
you can't change that. You can't change your sexuality. Not that people won't try 100 different ways to change it because they don't want it, because they've been raised to think that it's deviant and disgusting. Or they can't relate to people like at the gay parades who get dressed up and who are feminine and running in the streets, and they say, that is not me. You will never catch me in a million years doing that. And they become very homophobic in their comments. Because
it's not all gay men are feminine, and they do. They think that's not me, and that's not for me.
Right. I have men tell me that all the time. I'm not like that guy or like the guy on television that swishes around. That makes me ill. You know, that doesn't represent who I am. You know, so that's how I know I'm not gay. No, it means you're gay. You're just not, you know, an effeminate gay.
Right.
You know, football players are gay. Hockey players are gay. The most athletic men in the world are gay. It has nothing to do with that. But, you know, that's what they see and that's what they hear, and that's the sad part of it, and that's what keeps them from coming to terms with themselves. There's a lot of gay self-hatred that keeps men from, you know, dealing with the truth, and that's the problem. You know, I see it all over.
And it gay self-hatred. Mm-hmm. It is. And that's what I felt. That my ex-husband hated himself and who he, what he was.
One thing that I really hate them, and I'm sure you hear it all the time too, when people come, and our women always say this, that people come up and say, how could you not know he was gay? We knew it. That really makes me angry, you know, that people are so judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, why would you think you're marrying a gay man? I mean, gay and straight, you know, are diametrically, you know, opposed to each other. They're on the other sides of the spectrum of life. Why would we think a gay man would want to marry us? That's something I would have never suspected.
Right.
How about you?
No, I wouldn't think that a gay man would want to marry a woman.
No, I mean, it just doesn't mix together or meld together. It's not even like a thought. You know, it's like, I can't even think of something to compare it to, but I'll try to do that this week. But it's something that's incomprehensible to us. So why would we ever think a gay man wants to marry us? Now, that's ridiculous.
And they're telling us they love us. I mean, they're saying the words, but the behavior is kind of confusing because they're not
they're saying
really
the word,
showing.
And a lot of them had performed sex for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying it's great sex, I'm not saying it's the best sex, but they can perform sex. I've had gay men tell me what they have to do to perform. They have to fantasize, imagine this, imagine that. But, you know, they can perform for a while, but then it becomes too much of an obstacle. You know, it's just too difficult for them.
Yeah.
So instead of just being honest about it, they'll make up a million excuses, and when they stop working, then they'll start blaming you. And that's inevitably how it happens. At first, they'll make up the excuse. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, work's too stressful. Oh, I have a headache. I have a heartache. I have a bone ache. I have this ache. You know, they come up with 50 reasons why they don't have to make love to you. But then after a while, you know, you run out of excuses and you feel that sexual pressure from your wife. And, you know, they just become very angry about it because they don't want to have to keep performing straight sex. And that's what it is to them. It's a performance.
Yes.
And they'll throw it in like every few months just to throw you off, to make you think that you must be crazy in case you are thinking that they're gay. Right?
Yes, you're exactly right.
You know, they'll give you a little taste of something to make you think, well, I'm perfectly normally straight. when in fact they're normally gay. But, you know, it's a matter that they have to throw you off track, which is what I call gay-lighting you. Always making you think that you're crazy, like they used to have gaslight, I have gay light. And they just make you think that you're crazy when you're doing all this. So I find that very upsetting, you know, that women have to live through that mental pressure. Every woman coming out of this marriage needs support from a therapist, from a trained counselor. I have lots of them around the country if you need help or resources. But this has to be managed, and you have to deal with it. You can't just think it's going to go away. Because like you said, Deborah, a lot of times these issues comes up if you want to move forward. That, you know, if you don't have trust, how can you ever be successful in another relationship, right?
Yes.
And I think a lot of women want to get into another relationship. Not all, certainly, for sure. A lot of women are very happy on their own. And that's perfectly fine. You know, if you find happiness within yourself, that's the best happiness you can find. But for those people who want to start again in a relationship and they have to build up their trust issues again, it's really difficult after, you know, mistrusting somebody for so long because they were always lying to you. And how do you trust your judgment after that? That's why therapy really does help, or coaching. And you can move ahead instead of keep digging up the past, but see where you're starting at and then move ahead with that. But I think that we all have so many issues when this marriage is over. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I certainly did. I have a lot of issues. I've come a long way over the past 5 years. It's been hard working through all of it.
There is also the issue of post-traumatic stress, that so many things after these marriages remind you, and they bring you back to that place, that ugly place that you were. And so a lot of our women do suffer from post-traumatic stress.
Yes, they've been diagnosed, you know, with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you write about that I think is important for every woman to read about in your book, when giving your all isn't good enough, healthy boundaries in relationships. You said, in my marriage to a closeted gay man, I lost my sense of self. I had poor personal boundaries and did not know how to begin communicating with my own needs. Everything became about him and his needs. How can I help him with his depression, his problems? His problems were endless. He was never happy. We were isolated. It was just the two of us, so I became very dependent on him for company. Living with the lie of a closeted gay man will affect most aspects of your daily life. These men are not happy, and they blame their wives for their unhappiness. My ex-husband was both physically and verbally abusive. I know not all closeted gay men are physically abusive, but most wives have suffered from some type of abuse. These men are blaming their wives for the problems in their marriage, including the sexual problems, if not telling their wives. They are at least insinuating the reason they are not attracted to you is because you're not good enough. The physical abuse happened early in my marriage. After several arrests, he did stop putting bruises on me. That could be seen. The threat of violence continued throughout the marriage. The verbal beatdowns were constant. He was on me for every petty thing you could think of. I couldn't make a move from our shutting a car door to turning on the thermostat for air and heat. Anything he perceived as wrongdoing was on my part, no matter how petty it would be, would lead to verbal terrorizing that could last all night. Why would anyone want to stay in a marriage like this? There are many reasons women stay in abusive marriages. Much of it has to do with fear of being alone, because when you're isolated, you become dependent on the very person who is abusing you. Fear of economics, you know, you may not know how you will make out without him financially. And if you have children, you worry about how you will provide for them. It's scary starting over. I mean, those are some of the words that you wrote that are beautiful words in this book. And it is scary, and especially when you're dealing with physical and, you know, emotional abuse and verbal abuse. A lot of women just feel too beaten down to do anything and too fearful because they're afraid everything's going to fall right on them.
Yes.
The fear that you could even take away your children and you could never see them again, right?
Yes, I'm sure women do have that fear. That has happened to some women.
Yes, it has. And that's what's really scary, because it has happened. It's not like it might happen. Some women have had it happen. And that's really very frightening. So a lot of these guys know how to scare women so they'll be totally impotent and won't be able to make any kind of move. But unfortunately, you have to deal with it, and there's always help available somewhere. You just have to find it. And that's why I'm so glad that, you know, we have a great support network where people can come to us, they come to me. I help set them up for getting more support, because the more support you can get during this time, the better you are. Do you agree with that, Deb?
Oh, I agree. You know, I feel like the support group saved my life. You and the support group.
Thank you.
You brought me out of a very dark place. And I feel like I was existing in some kind of a coma-like state in that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The support that I got from you and the group helped bring clarity and helped bring me out of that dark place.
I think that support is a very key issue during this time, because you lose perspective and you're not quite sure of yourself, what's real, what's not real. Because when you're living a daily lie with somebody, it's easy not to figure that part out. You know, you question yourself all the time. Am I looking at it right? Am I seeing it right? Could he possibly be doing this? He's telling me he loves us. How could he possibly do this? You know, you're constantly questioning. Even when there's nothing necessarily to question, you know, because of lack of trust, you're always going to be questioning everything he does, right?
Right. But, yes, the women in the support group do help bring clarity, and I find them to be very honest. Sometimes the honesty can even, I mean, it can hurt, but it's what you need. I mean, you need honest feedback, because you've lost your way and your sense of self and what's true and not true.
You know, you're confused. You know, these marriages confuse you, especially when you're constantly being told lies. You're living somebody's lie with him. So, you know, that's what makes it so hard to try to unravel all the pieces. By the way, I always have to say hello to my nephew, Scott. I hope you don't mind, Deb.
I don't mind. Hi, Scott.
Yep. He's a Southerner just like you, and he loves our show. So I hope you're having a good week, Scott. And thank you for listening to the show. So there are a lot of men who listen to the show and give very positive feedback. And, of course, our women depend on it from week to week, and that's why I'm so glad, Deborah, that, you know, you're always so willing to be on the show. By the way, next week I'm really excited, because I think most of our women are familiar with Dr. Margalef Celstad, and she'll be a guest on our show next week to talk about her new book that just came out. And so that's really exciting to me, because she just has that, you know, way of making you feel that you don't have to be a caretaker for the rest of your life, that you can change it. So she'll be joining us. And before my summer break, I'm going to take a break for a few weeks in the summer and then run the best of our programs throughout the year through our season. We'll be having some other special guests coming on. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to starting our campaign for Straight Wives Matter. If you would like to participate with me, or once again, participate in some way, tell your story. We're collecting the stories to be able to give to state representatives so we can get some of these laws changed. You can do it anonymously, that's fine. I just want to get people's stories who feel they've been screwed by the legal system. Please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. So, Deborah, in our last few minutes, are there any messages you'd like to give to our listeners?
Bonnie, I don't know what to say. You caught me off guard.
I'm sorry, Deb.
That's
well,
okay.
I'll tell you what, Deborah. I'll tell you, Deborah, let's talk about this. You have a wonderful blog, right?
Yes.
And how can people access your blog?
It's at, I guess, the HTTPS, // Signs of a Gay Husband by Deborah Sutton at WordPress.com.
Let's see if I can pull it up on my computer. Signs. Is it all one word?
Yes, all one
word. Blog Deborah Sutton. I'm trying to pull it up. Yeah. If you just go to Signs of a Gay Husband blog, Deborah Sutton, it'll take you right to When Happily Ever After Fails by William Dye. Is that the latest one?
That's the latest one. That was a man that shared his story, his feelings after finding out his wife was a lesbian.
Was it any different than the way we feel?
No. They go through the same emotional feelings that we do. Some of these men have been, you know, married 30, 35 years, and their wife comes and tells them, you know, she's lesbian.
I know. Very traumatizing for them, too.
Yes.
And so I'm looking at your blog. It's so interesting. So if you're interested in Deborah's blog, just type in Signs of the Gay Husband by Deborah Sutton, and the first thing that will come up on Google is her blog. That might be easier for you than going through the HTTP, whatever the letters are. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have so many good articles here. Trauma bonding, brainwashing techniques include good, bad treatment by flying monkeys denied. That was a great article. Open Your Eyes. And there's so many great articles in here that Deborah wrote. And, of course, there are two books, Signs of the Gay Husband, Part 1 and Part 2, Volume 1 and Volume 2. If you go to Amazon.com, look up Deborah Sutton and her books, you'll definitely be able to order online and get them either through e-books or through the regular book. Right, Deb?
Yes. Either paperback or e-book. Kindle.
And once you start reading the second book, I mean, your first book was really good, Deb, but I love this second book. I mean, you touch on so many important points about the road to recovery. So it's a little bit different than your last book, where it's more the signs of the gay husband and what you see. This is how you can get past it and how you can start recovering from it, and that's such an important aspect of it also, right?
Yes. Yeah, the first book was about closeted gay husband behaviors, and this one is more about healing and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to know the behaviors, because a lot of times we're missing things because we just don't have enough knowledge. And when you read about the closeted behaviors, suddenly something will strike a nerve with you. And you'll realize, this is what she was talking about, right?
Yes.
So we'll be wrapping up our show. And Deborah, I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight. I'll be imposing on you more frequently in the future.
Hey, you're welcome, Bonnie.
Hopefully you'll let me take advantage of your good nature, Deborah.
Yes.
By coming more on the show.
Anytime.
Your insight is always excellent, and you work with so many women also, giving them support. So I do appreciate it. To all of our listeners who are out there, realize there's always hope, there's always support. Just write to me at bonk@aol.com. Don't let anything stop you from walking straight ahead. We're there for you along your march. Deborah and I are both there. If you need to contact me or Deborah, email me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll hook you up either way. So, Deborah, you know I love you.
I love you too, Bonnie.
And I hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll
you
be
too.
Talking to you soon. Love to all of our listeners.
Good night.
And have a wonderful good night.